Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Welcome back. We're here, the Duck Call Room. Look, if you're listening on all your podcast devices, Apple, Google Play, all that kind of good stuff, just remember there is a video link that goes along with it on our YouTube channel, the Duck Commander YouTube channel. Be sure to like and subscribe while you're there. That way you don't miss any of the stuff. I know we look through the comments and all that kind of stuff, the reviews, and everybody's like, well, I wish it had a video link. Well, it does, and that's on our YouTube channel, so check that out. It goes live when the podcast goes live, so... You know, just in case you desire to look at Godwin or John David or Stone or Philip or Cy, or I doubt it's me, but, you know, if you want to see us cut up, then feel pale. Free to check it out, huh?
You look pale.
Pale.
I look pale. I heard that all last week. Everybody's worried I was sick, and I can assure you I'm not sick, but let's go ahead and rip the Band-Aid off of this. It's been a couple of weeks since our esteemed co-host, Uncle Cy, was with us. So we're here to tell you why Cy hadn't been here. And who wants it?
Stone? I don't even want to say it.
Well, I don't even want to say it either. This is how it started off. I'll get us going. So Cy's wife, Miss Christine, she gets COVID and gives it to Cy. He did not know that he had COVID when he went on a hunting trip with Jay Stone.
Yep.
Go ahead, Stone.
Well, I noticed when I picked him up, he looked a little peaked. But
peaked, huh?
Yeah.
Pale.
Pale.
I said, Cy, you all right? He said, yeah, let's go kill them ducks.
Ha. Yep.
So, you know, nothing Cy likes better than a good teal swat. So we're going to South Louisiana to swat some teal. Well, on the way down there, he didn't say 5 words.
Wasn't singing along.
Wasn't joking.
Yeah, something's wrong.
I knew. I thought he maybe he's just, you know, because he's got the COPD. I thought maybe he's just out, you know, low energy day. But he wasn't his normal self. And all the way down there, and I thought, So we got up the next morning, and the blue wing just swarmed us, and we hit inside just bum 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 bum. Yeah. Bum, 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 bum. And usually when he's doing that, he's laughing and cutting up. Nah, he was just shooting ducks, and that was it.
And reloading. So he was acting like Jace.
But he was, yeah, that's right.
What about claiming? Was he claiming?
Oh, yeah, he claimed. Okay, well, lot. Well, he said, well, I did all right on that group, boys. You know, but it wasn't his usual, boy, I was 3 for 3. Yeah, you know, wasn't that.
If I wasn't a shot, y'all wouldn't have killed any.
But we had a good time, you know, and woke up the next morning, I could tell he didn't feel good because, you know, we were talking about going fishing. He's like, I'm going to sleep in. Well, he slept. He went to bed that night about 6:30, and he woke up the next morning to go hunting. We went hunting again, and he was looking about the same, maybe a little worse for wear. But his breathing was okay, and we got out there the next morning. Same thing, ripped the tail again, and this time it was no response. I knew something was wrong then. So we got back. I told my buddy Josh Galt, I said, I think there's something wrong. We need to load up and head on. And so we loaded up the truck, got him home, and he immediately went to sleep. Immediately.
So Jay called me. He said, hey, Philip, so I ain't feeling good. Now, Jay don't know exactly what's the cause, but Jay just knows something ain't right with that.
That's right.
He said, go by there Monday and check on him because it happened to be a snow day. You know, so I was off work. So I go over about 1 o'clock. He's still sleeping now. I go in 1:30, nothing. I go in at 2 o'clock. I said, hey, you got to get up. He gets up. I get him into the living room, but he don't look good. So I called Jay. I said, look, it seems like he's talking, but he doesn't look like he feels good. He's like, yeah, take him to the doctor. Yeah. I said, Cy, I'm taking you to the doctor. Ha! No, boys.
He wouldn't let him take him to the doctor.
Hey.
Well,
no,
I remember, so Hunter was going to go with me, the cameraman that went with Jay and Si. Hunter was going to go with me Monday and film. It was snowing. That was a snow day. Like, yeah. We were going to go film the ducks in the snow. And then he was like, man, I just don't feel good. And I was like, well, then, you know, long weekend. You worked all weekend. Stay at home. No big deal. Well, then he calls me Monday and says, I'm running fever. And I was like, go get checked.
Yep.
Like, right now, go get checked before we finish out this duck season. So Hunter pops positive for COVID.
That's right. And that's when Hunter called me.
Yeah, I told Hunter to call Jay.
The day before, Si would not let Philip take him to the doctor.
Yeah.
So I go to Si's immediately. He's laid up in the bed. I said, Si, we going to the hospital. He's like, nope.
Nope. I said, he hates the hospital.
I said, you got the COVID. He's like, no, I don't. I said, yeah, you do. I said, get out of bed. Get in my truck. Let's go. He said, I ain't going. I said, you going if I have to load you up in that truck myself. And he couldn't stand up. He was so weak.
Yeah.
And I called my buddy Chad. He's a nurse practitioner at the local hospital here. They had him in there waiting on him. I finally got him in the rig. And
that was a funny phone conversation. Because you called me all the way to the hospital. And Si was like, you could tell he wasn't feeling good, but he was trying to be Si because he said, hey, I'm going under protest, boys. I just want y'all to know I'm going under protest.
So I get him out of the truck. Chad's waiting there in the wheelchair. I get him out of the truck, get him in the wheelchair. He looks up at me. He said, we burned them blue wings, didn't we? I said, we sure did. So, and look, I was scared to death.
Oh, you know, man.
Because we all love that old man like he's our grandpa.
Yep.
Hey, ain't no doubt.
And we've spent had a lot of good memories with him. And I said, Si, fight this thing now. I said, don't give up on us. He said, hey, I ain't giving up, Jack. And that's the last thing he said to me when he rolled in that hospital. Was, of course, you can't visit.
Can't do nothing.
So they put him through 5 days of the treatment. And they called me up. They said, all right. Yeah, come get Uncle Si. He's about to drive us crazy.
Oh, yeah. Well, Jay was keeping me in the loop. And so I said, all right, I got to talk to him. You know, I've talked to him every day for 10 years. I got to find out, you know, how he's doing. So I call up there. There's like, no, we don't have a Silas Merritt Robertson at the hospital. We don't. Mm-mm. I was like, date of birth. What do you need? Nope, he's not here. I said, yeah, he's there. I got to go through 50 people. Finally, I call Stone. I said, are you sure he's there? He said, oh, he's there. You got to have this passcode.
Secret code.
So I'm like, okay. I call back up there. I said, hey, I got the secret code. They're like, okay, what is it? So they ring me through. Look, the phone just rings. Nobody answers. I say, he ain't there. It goes to the nurse's station. She answers the phone. I said, look, here's what's happening. I'm calling in there, and he don't know what's making that noise. I know because he don't know one noise from the next.
Yeah.
That's why I go there and check all these things that's going on, thinking it's
his
alarm system.
His alarm clock / the security system. Yeah.
Thank you.
Something's going off.
I said, go tell him the phone's ringing and tell him that it's Philip trying to get in touch with him. So ring, ring, ring. Hello. I said, oh, you found the phone. Yep. I ain't talked to him in about 3 days. That's all he's got? Yep.
Yep.
So.
So he does good in the hospital, does great. And they call me up, hey, come get Uncle Si. He's driving everybody nuts up here. He's doing great. He's ready to go home. So in the meantime, Philip has been talking to Christine, making sure she's okay. You know, she's sad that Si's not there. Of course, it's scary.
Yeah.
She's thinking she might lose her husband.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget it. When I pulled up to the door with Si coming back from the hospital, and I opened the door, Si walks in, Christine's standing there smiling. She's got her arms open. She says, welcome home, Si. He looked at her and said, yep.
I can see that happening.
It's probably the most Robertson line ever.
Yep. He sat down on that chair and he turned on that Western, propped his feet up, said, okay, boys.
Okay.
Whoa. Yeah. Gunsmoke.
Gunsmoke. That's right.
Just like that, he was back in his spot.
Oh,
so.
But, you know, but that wasn't the end of it. It was, of course, you know, the Robertsons are known to be set in their ways.
Self-diagnosis.
Self-diagnosis. So we get him home and everything, and everything's looking good. Well, the next day I called him. I said, "Si, how you feeling?" He said, "I might. I might." And he didn't sound all right. And I thought, he don't sound all right. I said, "You been taking your medicine?" He's like, "Yep." "What else you been doing? You been walking around?" "Yep."
Yep has started.
And then I called Philip. I said, "Philip," I said, "call him up. We'll see what you think." So Philip calls him up and told Philip the same thing. Well, the next day, I called down there and, you know, same deal. I said, "Si, how you feeling?" Except it was mumbling. And I thought, this ain't good. So I immediately get in the truck, drive over there, and he's just curled up in bed. Looks terrible. And I said, "Si, you going backwards. You been taking your medicine?" He went,
yeah. Like an old dog.
Oh, I know it. He was growling at me. So I went over there, and all the medicine was still in his deal, you know. He hadn't took it. He didn't have his oxygen on him. Of course, being a COPDer, while you're trying to recover from this, you got to stay on it.
Yeah.
I mean, he was only on 2 liters, so it was not a lot. He just needs to do it.
Yeah.
But
so we had the oxygen rolled in, plugged it in, strapped him on. I mean, he's sitting in his easy chair with this oxygen blowing. And that's when Paula and John came over and kind of helped us understand how to use it. And Jay was like, "Philip, we got to get him eating. We got to get him taking his meds. I said, we going to do that." That's when I called Martin. I was like, "Martin, I need you to psych me up. I'm going in."
Suit up.
That's when Philip decided, "I'm moving in."
Moving in. Home health with Philip. Home health with old Fred.
I do not advise it.
Well, I remember I told Si, you know, because Jay called me and I said, "Well, we need to go get his chest x-ray because his oxygen had dropped down." And yeah, I just went through all this. We haven't talked about it, but everything that Si went through, my dad went through. Mm. Difference is he ain't here no more, so it got him. So I was like, "It ain't getting Si. I'm not on my watch. It's already happened one time and out of our control, nothing we could do. But now that we know what to do, like, it ain't getting him." Right. So I was like, I got on the phone with Si. I said, "Si, here's the deal. We love you. If you don't want us to be the biggest pain in your butt you've ever seen, then you just do what you told." And I said, "Now, if you want us to call and bark and gripe at you every day, we'll do that. That's fine if that's what it'll take." He's, no, I ain't going to do that. No, we're going to do it. And I was like, "All right." But then we still sent Philip in for recon. We had to drop old Phil in there and just make him do it. But that, man, you know, that's what what's so cool and frustrating about that generation of men is they're headstrong. They grew up tough as nails through stuff that most of us, for the most part, ain't had to deal with. I mean, Si was dropped in Vietnam for crying out loud. Yeah. You know, so I mean, they know how to survive. They're survivalists. They're tough. And when they get down, it is a hard fact for them to face that, dadgum, I need help, you know. And my dad, same way. One of the toughest people I ever met. Ain't ever said nothing hurt in his life, you know. So
try to do it themselves.
Yeah, they think, well, I can beat this. Ain't no problem. I've beat everything else up until this point. Mm-hmm. But with this one, there's a problem.
Yep.
Like, he's non-discriminatory, and if you ain't careful, he'll kill you. I mean, that's just where it is, you know. So, I'm glad everybody was there. I'm glad that everybody has stepped up. John and Paula helping him getting the machine up. Jay getting him to the doctor. Phil moving in with him. We're saying all this to tell you that Uncle Si is currently doing well.
He's back to being a noisemaker. The first day I went over there, he was just laid back in his chair. You know how he's a noisemaker. He ain't making no noise. But I was in there yesterday. I wasn't even in the same room. I heard him in there. Ah!
Oh, he's back.
Oh, that's good.
So today I go over there. I've been bringing him lunch every day and watching him take his medicine. And today I said, "All right, Si, we're going to start rehab. We got to get them legs moving." And he said, No, I ain't doing that. I said, "Yeah, you are too. You're going to do it." So I got his little bicycle, that little bicycle he puts in front of his recliner. So I pulled that blanket up. He's in his tidy whities. And I pushed that recliner down, pulled that blanket up. And I was looking at his legs. I was looking for black spots. You know, I was looking for blood clots. He said, what are you looking for? I said, I'm looking for them for black dots. He said, hey, son, ain't no black dots on these legs. He said, this boy ain't clotting up.
This boy ain't clotting up.
I said, you will if you don't move. So I said, all right, we're going to do 5 minutes on this little bicycle. He went, So I set my timer. I said, no, just go real slow. I put the oxygen meter on him. I was watching him close because we kept his oxygen on, and he pedaled for 5 minutes. He said, hey, ain't nothing to this. I said, all right, so here's the plan. I said, next week we're going to play dominoes at my house on about Monday or Tuesday. This is after hunt season. He said, yep. What are you cooking? I said, I don't know yet. So
he loves Stone's cooking.
Oh, yeah.
If that don't get him going, nothing will.
The man, if you look at it, he just loves to eat, period.
Oh, he
loves man. It's unbelievable.
So I brought – yesterday, I brought him – so what you were there yesterday with me, weren't you?
It was –
Duck fingers?
Duck fingers.
Yeah.
I fried duck fingers. And the day before that, John brought him some chicken and dumplings.
Yeah.
And
well, they was told – I was told – well, Paula took some over there the other day, and I was told that he just raved on it. But come to find out, well, Stone fixed him some, and then he took one bite, and he goes, well, that ain't much. But Christine over there with a sparkle in her eyes said, oh, I'll take care of that.
Oh, that's what it was, Christine. She's siphoning off the extra.
Yeah. Well, we already know he don't like that pot pie.
He don't like that.
He don't like the chicken. I think it's chicken is what he don't like.
Well,
but he ain't much on
the good news is, the great news is, hopefully next week, Si will be back with us.
Yep.
And we will be right back after this.
Hey, what are you gnawing on over?
You know what?
Y'all hear any crunching?
Ever since I got on the Godwin plan and snacks have to be few and far between, I got to make them count and I need them to be healthy.
What is that?
This is dried mango from nuts.com and it's delicious.
I'm on almonds.
He eating them almonds. You got the trail mix. Martin with the Snack Kings.
What you got?
By nuts.com.
I mean, if we're being honest, this has got to be like everybody's least favorite act because all y'all do is sit here and chew the whole time.
I can't help it. We're going to eat them.
Yeah, look, Godwin just filled the label off of that bag of trail mix. Uh-huh. Watch this. I bet half of it's gone by the time we get through this. But you know why? That's because it's good.
Mm-hmm.
If it was a bunch of junk, he wouldn't be eating it. And that's what you get at nuts.com. You get simply quality snacks with great ingredients, and it's all fresh. Nuts.com is your one-stop shop for freshly roasted nuts, dried fruits, sweets, pantry staples like specialty flours, and more. Their wide selection mean that there is something for everybody. As is proof here, everybody's eating but me. I would be eating, but somebody's got to read this.
Have you ever had organic dried mango?
I have.
It's so good.
It's
a healthy snack.
It's way better than I thought it would be. That's for sure. Nuts.com offers plenty of gluten-free options, organic choices, and other diet-friendly products. So whether you're looking for something sweet, savory, or need to stock up on everyday cooking essentials, you're bound to find something to try. Sweep it up off the floor. We on a five-second warning now. And at nuts.com, quality is a top priority. They roast their nuts and pop their corn the same day it ships, so they reach you deliciously fresh. Satisfaction is guaranteed. So whether you want trail mix, floor mix, dried mango.
Almonds.
I'm on this health kit.
Bourbon pecan.
They got some good pizza flour, too. I need to order some of that because I'm out.
That sounds like the health kick may be over, but.
No. You ain't got to be healthy on the weekend.
Oh, okay. What
did everybody do? Get lunch today?
Or chocolate-covered gummy bears, if you like those.
Those are so good.
Like, there's all kinds of things that you can find at nuts.com. You're going to find something that you like. Right now, nuts.com is offering new customers a free gift with purchase and free shipping on orders of $29 or more at nuts.com/nuts. So go check out all of the delicious options at nuts.com/nuts. You'll receive a free gift and free shipping when you spend $29 or more. That's nuts.com/nuts.
They're delicious.
So Si's doing well. He's on the road to recovery. Stone's got a little plan for him on his recovery, and he'll hopefully be back with us. So that's a good thing. So, Stone, where are we at in the recovery? He's pedaling the bicycle.
He's eating good. He's taking in a lot of fluids, taking his meds. His oxygen levels look really good.
Which is good because his mind is right.
That's right.
Know? I don't
that's
know right. that his mind's ever been right.
Yeah.
But it's yeah. pretty it's
I mean,
pretty
it's
right
a,
now.
It's a quarter off plum anyway. But
we,
you know.
We went from not being able to get him to smile or laugh. Mm. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
I mean, that's when I called Martin. I was like, hey, give him some of your best stuff when you call him. See if you can get him to laugh.
I'm not going to divulge what I did to get a good giggle out of him. Sometimes you just got to. Yeah, sometimes you just got to go back to the army days with Si and have a little fun with him.
That's why him and Stone get along. So
yeah,
good.
That's right. Exactly.
Bertie,
right.
You know, a lot of people, they like tomato juice, but he likes that. What's it called?
Mr. T's.
Spicy.
Bold and spicy.
Bold and spicy tomato juice. Now, you can't, don't try anything else in there.
That's a Bloody Mary mix.
Yeah, you got to go to the alcohol aisle to get it.
Yeah.
But don't go in there with anything else. He won't drink it.
That was the only thing I could get him to consume.
That, sans vodka.
That's it.
Yeah. I mean, it's the Bloody Mary mix without the vodka.
Yeah.
He likes them jalapenos.
He likes that stuff. I mean, the man every night eats about half a jar of jalapeno stuffed olives. Yep. So, I mean,
that was his first meal.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, I knew things were starting to get better when he hadn't eaten in a while. We were watching Gunsmoke, and he just turns to me and he says, "Hot chocolate with marshmallows." And he turned it. He had it on mute, and then he turned the mute back off. And he said, "All right, boys, here we go." Yep. I got up and went and got what he wanted. And he's like, "Okay, ha ha, whoa, whoa, hey, here we go."
Barking them orders, man.
Okay, boys,
he's milking it.
But you got to watch him, though. He'll milk it.
He'll milk it.
Oh,
I'm
so,
sure.
So Uncle the rehab started today with the peddling, and I told him, I said, "I need you to do that 3 times a day." He said, "Yep." I said, "Don't just do it when I'm here. Do it 3 times a day. He said, "All right."
What's going to happen. If you don't go over, he ain't do it.
So we're gonna get them legs moving a little bit. And I told him the plan is we're going to play dominoes. Then I got some veterans coming in for the veterans hunt. We have a day set aside here in Louisiana where only veterans can shoot ducks, which is nice.
Oh,
it awesome. Should be a week, but it's a day. I'll take it.
Yeah.
And I got some guys coming in, and I'm going to have a big feed. I said, "All right, we're going to have a big feed." Si loves to entertain veterans. He loves to be around veterans.
Yep.
That's his favorite thing. So I said, "You're going to make that meal. I'm going to have it at my house. I'm going to come get you or get Philip to bring you over. We're going to have a big time. Then we're going to wake up next morning, and we're going on a veterans duck hunt, and we're going to burn our gun barrels off." He looked at me and said, "Which blind are we going to?" And I said, "I don't know yet. I got to do some scouting." He said, "All right." He said, "Make it a comfortable blind." I'm like, "Okay."
That'd make you wish you could go buy 30 green winged teal and turn them out for him.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, just to welcome him back to the fold, you know, because there ain't nothing Si Robertson loves more than shooting green winged teal.
That's right.
Nothing
and,
in this
and
world.
Look, I hated it so much yesterday because the green wing quit showing up on our side of the river 10 years ago. And they used to show up all the time. But we were sitting there, me, Phil, and Jace, and I looked up, and there's 25 green winged teal. We're in the woods in a timber hole. And they just did that. You know, they do that bank.
Oh, yeah.
Like a warthog. And they just come right in there.
Yeah.
Got this high off the water, and we raised up. Boom, 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 boom. 9 for 9.
And that's pretty sporty.
That's sporty. And I told Phil, I said, "Si's been waiting on this for 10 years. And Phil said, "Good night. He missed it. He missed it." I said, "I know." I said, "I don't even think I'm going to tell him about it."
You know the Robertsons are famous for being sympathists anyway. So Phil Phil saying he missed it and laughing under his breath at the same time saying, "That weak sucker." You know, I mean, that's just how they were raised, man. They're tough.
Tough.
Only the strong survive.
Yeah, and just they made fun of each other when they get down. That's what's funny. I mean, I'm sure Phil's called him, and here's probably how the conversation went. "Hey, Si."
Yep.
"How you doing?" I'm all right. All right. Well, I was just checking on you. All right.
And then Kay says, "Phil, how's Si doing?"
"Oh, he's doing good."
"Yep, he's good."
Well, Si made it plainly clear to me on multiple occasions that he's good with no matter what happens.
Oh, ever. Yeah. Well, we and all know that.
We all know that. And he said, hey, son, no regrets.
Yeah.
I lived my life the way I wanted to live it, and I had a ball on this earth.
Yeah.
He said, I'm ready to go right now. So,
we ain't ready.
I ain't ready for him to go.
No, heck no.
We have too much fun with it.
I guarantee you. I mean, could you imagine at this point life without Si? Are you kidding? I mean, it'd be a lot quieter, but, you know, we wouldn't laugh. We wouldn't carry on. We wouldn't. Who going to slam the table at Domino's like him for 17? Don't even count. Like, you know.
Si, that's not a count. Hey.
It don't matter.
Well, hey.
And it ain't going to be one for you. 18. I mean, that's just the kind of stuff he does, you know. It's hilarious. I mean, imagine sitting around a poker table without Si there. Everybody, that may end the game. Like, if Si ain't there, then that's just, it's unbelievable when you stop and think about the impact. Not only on all the people's lives that he's had via the television show, but through all of our lives. I mean, the community of people that he keeps. I mean, when it is his time, and granted, it's closer every day for him at 72, then there's going to be a lot of us looking around like, what in the world? Because the man is just, he's unbelievable. I mean, he really is. At the end of that, that's just the way to put it. But
at one time, he was the most famous human on the face of the earth.
Yeah.
Think about that.
And if you don't think the good Lord's got a sense of humor, Si Robertson, the most famous person, and arguably, I guess for some people, probably a sex symbol, that you don't think the good Lord got a sense of humor?
Oh, my goodness.
I'm here to tell you.
And almost wasn't going to be on the show.
Yeah, they almost weeded him out from the beginning. You know,
Willie said, "Now you might want to hang around him for about 10 minutes.
Yeah, just give him a chance."
What surprises me all these years that I've been with him and traveled with him to all these places, I mean, it's amazing. And I know it's probably in one of his books, but you know, he didn't care. He would get up in front of everybody, anybody. He's always going to testify about his relationship with Christ. Mm-hmm. It don't stop him for a minute. We had probably a couple hundred people in a room, and they were building something. This was in Mississippi. Jay's been there before over to this place in Mississippi, but they were building something, and Si got one of the 2x4s and started drawing the gospel symbols on them, and like Hacksaw Dugan, he's pounding that board against, and everybody's looking. He says, "Boys, he died for you. Why don't you just repent, you know, turn from your way?" They all started clapping and crying and saying, you know, "Thank you, Si." I was like, "Where did you get that from?" He was like, "Hey, the Spirit just hit me." I said, "That was a pretty good sermon, Si." But everywhere we went, he would never back down. He would never shrink back. Nah, I mean, he's just a hero.
Unapologetic.
Yep.
I guarantee you there. He is.
Yep.
To steal another line, unashamed.
Ooh, that's true.
No. And spin off.
There's nothing more enjoyable to him than hunting with Jay. He's got so many Jay Stone stories.
Let's get into some of them when we get back from this little break right here. Let's get back to the adventures of Si and Stone. We'll be right back. Well, I think we've all got plenty of Si stories, but you know, I love hearing the adventures of Jay and Si on a hunt, whether it be deer, ducks, turkeys, whatever they're chasing. So Stone, what is your best? Give me your best one. You and Si.
Well, my fondest memory of one of our hunts when my daughter, BK, she was 10, and she wanted to go deer hunting, and she had her first deer. And so I called up Si. I said, "Bullfrog, ready to shoot a deer. You won't come?" He said, "Yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. Let's go get it."
Oh yeah.
So, Si's deer stand, I got him it used to be a duck blind. It's about 30 foot long, and I enclosed the shooting porch and made little slits so it'd be real dark in there. In other words, I Si-proofed it because he's always moving, shaking his tea glass, coughing.
Standing up to take a leak 57 times.
Okay, boys. Yeah. So we're up in that stand, and I've been chumming them pretty good. Well, old doe comes out, bullfrog gets ready. We've been practicing for a year. We started with a BB gun, went to a pellet gun, went to a .22, got up to a 6.5 Creedmoor. And she's solid. She shoots better than I do. Everything's ready. Well, Si's got his binoculars. Well, the chum ain't but 50 yards. So this deer comes walking up. Si takes out his binoculars. 50 yards away. He says, "All right, bullfrog, there she is." And that deer just starts. I said, "Si, be quiet." He's like, "Huh? Oh, okay." So she walks up to the chum. She starts eating. And bullfrog is up there with a rifle. He said, "Wait till she turns broadside, bullfrog." And that deer is looking around, like, looks right at us. I said, "Si, you got to be quiet." He said, "Oh, okay, okay." So bullfrog lines up on her. Deer jumps straight up in there, you know, lung shot. Stand there wobbling. Si's looking at her. He says, "All right, bullfrog, I think you might ought to shoot her again." And then he says, "Whoa, wait a minute. She's a wobbling. She's a wobbling."
Play by play. And then
and then that deer falls over, and Si hollered, "She's down!" Me and Si are high-fiving, you know. I look over at Bullfrog. She's like one of them Cigar Store Indians. She just set her weapon down and did just like this.
Yeah. She's looking at y'all saying, "Act like you've been there before."
Yeah, that's right. I said, "Si, did you see that?" He said, "Oh, yeah, I saw it, all right." I said, "Is that a good sign or a bad sign?" He said, "Oh, that's a good sign right there."
Oh, well, that's what you got to love about the man. There was nobody in that moment on this earth happier for your daughter than Si.
That's right.
I mean, happier than her, even you. Si was, I mean, but that's the kind of man he is. I mean, he'd much rather see that than go kill a deer himself.
That's right.
I mean, that's what, you don't find that with many people. There's a lot of people that will say that, but to actually mean it and see it, it's always something else. I mean, I'm trying to think back. I got so many with that old rascal that I think my favorite one was the first time I ever took him duck hunting. I wasn't working here, wasn't nothing, and we met at the truck stop. And I said, "Si, he wanted to go kill geese." And I was a rice field hunter back then. I was like, "Oh, we go kill some specklebelly." We got to that field that morning, and we pulled in. And I saw all these feathers, and I was like, I just looked at him. I said, "Si, this ain't been here. Like, this is new, and it's the end of the season. And it's one of them return migrations. The ducks had come up from the south since the last time I'd been there, and they loaded that thing up. And me and Si sat in that pit blind and picked out mallard drakes and bull sprigs at 20 yards, and he just cackling the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
He said, "Them boys down on the riverbank ain't killing squat." And he's just, you know, because with them boys, it is somewhat of a competition between Phil and Si Jace. So he's just laughing. He said, get Jace on the phone. Let's tell him about this." And Si took the phone from me and then just, "Oh, I'm telling you, bull sprigs, backpedaling it. You know, we doing it again. We'd invite you, but you can't come." He was just laying the wood to him. And me and Si went back to that field every day for like 5 days and just, we killed full limits of mallard drakes and pintails. And I had more fun that week than I ever had duck hunting. Because Si went back to being like a 15-year-old again. It was just like being a kid. There were no cameras involved. It was nothing. And we just had a big old time.
Well, that's what makes him so fun to be around, because he is a kid.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%.
Every trip we go on, it's like I'm taking one of my kids.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I would much rather go on a trip with Si than anybody else on the face of the earth,
including except for maybe for the bathroom,
except for maybe your wife. You may want
to. Well, yeah. I'm talking about hunting, fishing.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
let me specify.
Yeah, amen to that.
But boy, is he a blessing to a lot of people, and I feel really blessed to have known Uncle Si as long as I have, and to spend so much time with him. And don't ever think that I take it for granted. It's such a blessing.
Amen.
I know we all feel the same way.
Amen. Yeah. Godwin, give us one. What?
Well, I'll give you a non-hunting one. It was when we had the Texas Motor Speedway for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And me and Si, was you there?
Oh, yeah.
Me and Si was there on Friday. Y'all wasn't there yet. I don't know what was going on, but we was at the trailer and seeing fans and stuff and taking pictures. And this guy comes up, and he said his name was Jeff Whaley. He said, I'm Richard Petty's guy, and he wants to meet you and Si. And you need to come with me. I'm going to take you to his coach. So me and Si, and I guess Philip and Paula, we loaded up on golf cart, and they took off. We went in there back in the Holy Land where all the coaches are. And went in there, Richard Petty's coach, and him and Si talked and talked and talked. They talked so much, they run out of stuff to talk about. And went to talking about the show Cops. Both of them watch it. And they got to talk about episodes of that. And finally, Jeff was saying, well, King, you got an appearance you got to go to, so we got to cut this off. We've been there about an hour, I guess. So he said, okay, wait. He runs over and he gets in the printer, rips a piece of paper out of it. Si, will you sign this for
Richard Petty asking Richard for all of it.
Yeah. So everybody leaves. We get on the golf cart, you know, and we're fixing to leave. And Si said, that old guy was nice. He said, I always did want to meet that Earnhardt fella.
I had no idea.
I said, Si, that was Richard Petty.
That's fantastic. Completely oblivious. Oh, man.
Classic Si.
Philip, you got one for us?
Oh, my goodness. I've got a bunch.
I know you do.
But I'm going to just tell y'all one. And it ain't a hunting story. I've been banned from the hunting blind for 30 years. And I say, Si, can you?
Ear ringer.
Yeah. Well, he's short.
It was because I jumped up shooting before Phil said cut him, and then it was banned for life.
That's
right. I said, Si, can you get me back in? Nope, son, you're done. I said, Si, we're best friends. You ought to be. Ha, no, hey, you're out. That's as far as that goes.
Well, it was 50 till.
Yeah. That's better than, That was better than Dejan on 200 till.
Pop. So we get invited to Brooks and Dunn and Reba. Okay, and Si's fired up, and Miss Christine wants to go. She's fired up about it. And so me and my wife and Si and Christine and Sadie and her assistant they're supposed to go with us. They send us these tickets, $2,500 a piece, and it's backstage before the show, front row, after the show, you know, all this kind of cool stuff. And so I got me and my wives, and I got Si and Christine's and Sadie and her assistant who's supposed to be going. So we go over to Vegas to see the show, and when we go to the concert the next day, which I did end up getting third, was pretty nice, and I gave him all his money back because he needed me to, surely. Yeah. He rebought. I said, here, just call it even.
Yeah, we'll call it good.
Yeah, so we're standing in line, and we're going to the Brooks and Dunn and Reba. And this couple comes up, they're celebrating a year anniversary, and they're like, oh, my goodness, Uncle Si, look, can we get our picture with you? Yeah. And then they say, y'all going to see the concert? Yeah. We want to go, but it's really expensive. And Si says, hey, Sadie and her person didn't show up. He said, Philip, give them those tickets. I said, here's $5,000 worth of tickets for y'all.
Happy anniversary.
I said, you're with us from now on. You're going everywhere we go. They're crying, and, you know, Si's laughing and cutting up and loving it. So we all go in, take pictures, and everybody's really gravitating to Si, not Brooks and Dunn and Reba, but just Si is overwhelmed with people. We go to the concert. It's great. We have a good time. Afterward, it's the same type thing. And when we walk out, not Ronnie Dunn, the other one.
Kix Brooks.
He says, Si, all I got to do is put this baseball hat on. Nobody even noticed me. I can walk out the doors and nobody even know. But the mistake was he walked out with Si, and about 300 people gathered around him and just started going wild. And he was like, good grief, man. He said, you can't go anywhere, can you? So I was like, ha-ha, no. But that's one of my greatest memories, spending a weekend at Caesar's Palace with Uncle Si. And one last story about that was funny. We were going, after our poker tournament, we were going back upstairs, you know, where our wives were. And these two ladies were standing beside the elevator, and they said, you know, hey, blah, 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 blah. And so I was like, yep, come on. And he puts his arms around him. He says, Philip, hurry up and take a picture. We got to go. I said, Si, they don't want a picture. He said, do what? I said, they don't want a picture. Get your arms off of them. They want something else. He said, oh, good grief, son. Ha, 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 ha.
We got out of there.
Time to go.
Yeah.
Time to go, boys.
I can't get over it. $2,500. a ticket per ticket.
And that couple sent us a letter that was so sweet with pictures. Like, we never had a night like this in our life. It's unbelievable.
Oh, there's one person I'll go see. I'll pay $2,500 to go see, and that's Jesus.
Let's take one more break.
This is true. When Jay and Si were gone down south hunting, Si said, all right, Philip. He said, all these stickers on my truck, I want them gone. Every one of them. Because they don't support him anymore. They don't sponsor him anymore. I said, okay. We took off all the stickers, cleaned his truck, fixed everything that was broke. But I got it totally clean. Yeah. And I found a knife up under the seat that was open. And, like, nobody would ever find this knife again. It's, like, gone forever. And I wedged it back out of there. And I was like, oh, okay, I put it in my shirt pocket. So when I took him his truck, I was like, here's your truck, sign it. And he looked at it, or whatever. He looked at it. Maybe he had gotten back in his truck. I can't remember. But I said, Si, what do you think about your truck? Where's my binoculars? I said, they're in the back of the seat. Did you see your truck? Yep. I said, I found something in your truck that you would not believe. A knife. Where is it? It's in my front shirt pocket. He's like, give it to me.
He knew it had been gone.
How'd you know that? He's like, yep, I lost it and never could find it. I figured you'd get it for me.
It sure has been fun sitting here thinking about Si. I'm just glad that he's doing good and be back with us hopefully next week. So, but we're going into the last week of duck season. This is, it's a weird time of year. It's always like, dang, it's over. And then there's also that, like, thank God it's over. I mean, you're just kind of, as ragged as the ducks are worn, so are we. Yeah. I mean, you know.
And then what are we going to do now?
Oh, I tell you what we're going to do now.
We're facing a sore lip of them all.
We're going to get on them crappies is what we're going to do.
Well, I done started.
If anything like this year, we're going to be making a bunch of duck calls,
or
too.
That. Yeah.
Speaking
yeah.
of duck calls.
That's y'all's department.
I've been an R&D on the new duck call for next year. Well, actually, there's two of them I'm working on. One of them is the Phil Robertson Pro Series. So I told Phil about it. I said, I gave him the prototype. I said, I want you to try this duck season. And if you like it, we'll run it. And he said, I got one condition. I said, what's that? He said, it needs to be better than the Jace Robertson Pro Series.
It's always a competition with him.
Okay. I said, we'll make it a little bit louder and a little bit raspier, and we'll have what them boys in Arkansas will call reverb on the milk down. In other words, and that's in duck call lingo, as you milk down your notes, you still get that ducky,
nasally.
Raspy, nasally sound as you decrease your airflow.
Yeah, which is what I like, too. That's
right.
I like that nastiness on the low end.
That's right. That's hard to get.
Yeah.
And so I brought it to him. He blew it. He said, you know what? That's the best one you've come up with yet.
So it's last year.
He said, I don't care if it does have my name on it.
You'll never see that one again. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah. So that's the new one. It's been Phil approved. So that'll be coming pretty soon now.
June, July, we'll release them to everybody. It's that time of year. I mean, it's that time of year where people, if you don't understand, all you knew was a show. This is the, like, February to September generally is when we build all of the duck calls. That way during the fall, we can back off of it. Now, y'all have been so good to us the last few years that we just work year round. So
you ain't lying.
I mean, it's just, they leave here faster than we can build them for the most part, which, look, don't hear us griping. That's a blessing. You know, we're thankful for the work and thankful for our jobs. So, we love it. And, you know, that's what we're staring down the barrel of. We're at the end of duck season. But, when it does end, we all basically, there's like an unspoken week off there of, like, after duck season, because you got to charge in batteries, man. You don't realize just how run down you are until you wake up Monday morning and you're not going.
With no alarm clock.
Yeah, and you wake up at 4 o'clock.
That's right, same time.
Yeah, and you're like, and that goes on for a week and a half until you finally get into a new schedule. Then you're dating your woman again. You got to start going to dinners and picture shows and all that kind of good stuff. Yep.
But, back when I had a real job, I never had that problem.
Yeah, but
there's people thinking right now. They say, "You suckers, yeah, talking about you." But
you do 60 straight days with that Robertson bunch and tell me how much you love duck hunting. That's all I got to tell you. They tested me 3 years. They broke me. I said, "I got to find a better mouse trap. There's an easier way to do this."
I'm married in, so.
Yeah, you in.
You can't get out.
Yeah. There wasn't nobody happier to see Jay Stone pull up around here than me. Because I was a single one, not married, down there moving decoys under the cover of midnight. I said, why can't we just get here 30 minutes early anyway? We can't just do it then. No, we'd run them off. That way we get in there quiet. I'm like, good night. About 3 years of that, I said, all right, boys, I'm out.
Yeah. Y'all lost me. You ain't getting in there quiet. What side am I?
I'll tell you what, though. It's like I said, it is a grind, and I would say an infatuation with misery. Because Phil's favorite thing to do, of course, he loves it. He loves that hard hunting, grinding, you know. But he'll sit in that duck blind daylight to dark every day, and people don't realize that. And look at the sky all day long from daylight to dark
and
every day.
And believe they're just about to show up.
He'll tell you, they're coming. They're coming. And I'm telling you, there will never be another one like him when it comes to having the passion that he has for duck hunting.
Well, and it helps, too, when you live a mile and a half from your duck hole.
Yeah.
And you're retired. Right. I like to think if I can get set up in that scenario, I may want to sit there all day, too.
Right, but he's been doing that same thing.
Oh, I know. Since I've known him, he was still somewhat employed whenever we first started. And I remember I hated – if I saw him bring a bag of snacks, I said, oh my goodness.
Riding the hole, boys.
I knew right then, I was like, I need to break a leg, a toe. I need to be able to get out of here. But if I saw him carrying a grocery bag, we there all day. You about to hear the world famous line, about 2:30. I've seen it happen around here, son. We're going to tear their tails off.
Be telling your grandkids about what happened here today. Get some more bullets out.
Yeah. Generally, a guy like me, a guy, when see a bag of honey buns, we get fired up. You see Phil toting them, you're like, oh, no. Yeah. Oh, he ain't got nothing to do today.
But it is, he's 74 now, and I promise you, he could ride it out every day. All season long.
74, and this year I saw him make two of the best shots I've ever seen him make.
He still got it.
I mean, it's unbelievable. I was just like, I looked at him and said, boy, I'm glad they ain't on my end. Boom, dead. And I was like,
the man still got somebody.
Yeah. He was telling me a story.
Yeah.
And grabbed his gun and shot the Woody before I even got my hand on my gun.
While he was in the seated position.
Yeah. He was telling me a story. And I'm the one that saw the Woody. He saw my reaction, raised up, bought dead. And I was like,
I just said, that's my friend.
Yeah. Hand me that Woody.
Yeah. He loves it.
All right, let's take our last break. We'll be right back after this.
So the greatest ride the hole story.
Uh-oh.
They're all sitting in the blind from daylight to dark. I wasn't there. I just heard the story.
Yeah. Left.
Don't ever do. So they ride it out from daylight to 5 minutes before legal shooting hours ends. They have three ducks all day. Everybody gets out of the blind with 5 minutes to go. They're 100 yards from the duck blind, and somebody said, look at that. And 100 mallards were descending on the decoys. Yeah. As they were riding off.
They were backing out of the boathouse.
They wouldn't have
backing
come.
Backing out of the boat room.
They wouldn't have come in. That's them devil ducks. That's them Sunday morning ducks when you got to leave and go to church. You want to see some ducks? 8:40 on Sunday morning when you got to leave and go to church.
That's right.
Just look up and they backpedaling everywhere. You're like,
"Yeah,
that's a devil duck. Yeah. That's all it is. They're trying to keep you from going to meet with a brother.
I'll tell you this, though. As miserable as he can make it, I have some of my fondest memories that I will cherish for the rest of my life from riding out that duck blind from daylight to dark.
With Phil.
So there's always a silver lining, especially with him.
Well, and with Phil, there's nobody that you've never not been offended at calling you a fat boy except for Phil Roberts. He just looked at it and said, them fat boys, I'm going to miss him calling me that.
You know,
I really will. It's funny.
He's the ultimate nickname giver, or him or Willie.
Yeah.
Willie's a good one. But once Phil gives you a nickname, that's who you are.
That's it.
And you start calling yourself that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's fantastic.
Size told me, oh, man, I can't call them that. It's hard for me to call them these names that they give them, you know.
Oh, I've heard it all. Oh, thick legs, no legs. Yeah, I mean, it's generally, if you have any kind of physical abnormality, that's your
male
name.
Or female.
Yeah. And if you got red hair, you're something red. Jimmy Red, yeah. Billy Red, Toby Red. There's everybody. If you got a red hair in you, you got hung.
W.E. Billy Red Shoes. They called him because he wore those red sneakers.
Yeah.
Billy Red Shoes.
What about Joe Dirt?
Red Sox
then you got Burley, and then you got Snuffy, Huffy, Duffy.
Jimson.
There was a Jimson. What do you call you? Horsehead.
Horsehead, Buster Crab. Buster Crab. He could never settle on one for
he
me.
Called, yeah. What do you call Godwin? The Walrus. He came up
Walrus,
with that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Then he called him Wildcat or something. And then
Godwin called himself Wildcat. Oh.
No, that's what he named.
Oh, well, then he called you a pussycat. That was my favorite one.
That was about Tombstone.
Oh, that's right. Phil called Godwin Wildcat. Or that's about Godwin weighed about 160.
Yeah. He got He got on up there and he said, you don't like a wildcat no more. You look more like a pussycat now. Yeah. I was like,
he went a wildcat to a wildcat.
He looking like old Sweet Pea.
Yeah. Sweet Pea.
Oh, I took a picture. A picture of Sweet Pea for the audience.
Oh. Sweet Pea's about 50 pounds.
Oh, Sweet Pea come over yesterday. He eased over there. And he didn't just lay down on my feet.
He flopped.
He just fell. Just whop,
whop.
Just fell.
Look at old Sweet Pea.
There's Sweet Pea.
Now, the story on Sweet Pea is
40-pound.
That is a big cat. Yeah.
When they picked Sweet Pea up, they thought it was a girl, got it home, said it was a boy. So I said, ha, not going to change the name.
No, Sweet Pea. You stuck with it.
Sweet Pea.
Just like Phil and his nickname. Yeah. But let's get into a couple of these emails. For all of y'all that reached out to us, thank y'all from the hello@duckcallroom.com email. If you have anything, please submit it. You know, if you have any words of encouragement to Uncle Si, throw them out there to us. hello@duckcallroom.com. We will print them off and give them to Si. You know, we appreciate y'all emailing in. We got this one from Keith that I thought was kind of funny, and especially since Stone is here, so I'm just going to read it.
Okay.
He said, hey, guys, love the show and everything y'all stand for. I know Jace is not on the duck call room, and y'all say he is no fun. But
this.
I've always thought Jace is just as he seems, an absolute lover of Jesus Christ. If you duck call room boys had to describe old Jace, what would you have to say? Thanks and God bless. Look, let's just be clear. Nobody's ever questioned Jace's love for Jesus.
That's right,
a lot of things we'll question and make fun of him for. Any doubt or anything involving his love for Jesus, that's out. So, Keith, rest assured, that part is true.
And look, and I'm thankful, very thankful for Jace because, and y'all, I've told y'all before, he shared the gospel with me and my girlfriend 30 years ago, which has changed our lives. My children's lives, and they're going to be spouses' lives.
Oh, there's no telling how many lives he's changed because Jace, just like Sif, just like Phil, they're going to let you know.
Well, him and Stone are best friends.
Well, no,
act just alike.
Me and Jace have been friends for 20-something years.
Yeah. Phil says the twins.
So, he calls – what did he call us last year? Oh,
Mutt and Jeff.
Mutt and Jeff.
Mutt and Jeff.
Mutt and Jeff is what he calls us.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've been friends 20-something years. You know, I love him to death, like a brother.
Oh, yeah.
But he's way too serious when we duck hunting.
And playing golf. And
well, yeah.
Just about it. He just wants to beat
you. He's competitive. Competitive.
He is. Yeah.
And look, there ain't many things that I can beat him in. I can beat Willie in a lot of things.
Yeah.
But Jace, no. He's smart. He's like crazy smart.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Jace is the king of use the rules to your advantage.
Oh, yeah.
He gets that from his love for golf. He learns how to use every rule to his advantage.
Oh, yeah.
He just sits back and waits and then pounces.
Yeah.
What'd you call him?
Uh-oh.
Idiot savant?
No, that wasn't me. That was somebody else. All I don't know is he doesn't forget anything.
No, nothing.
I forget something I said 5 seconds ago.
Not him.
Yeah.
That's why he straps everybody at dominoes, cards, no matter what.
Poker, foot races.
Oh, yeah. The only thing more impressive than his counting card skill is counting dominoes. The boy, round around the table, he'll tell you what you got.
You play one domino, he knows what everybody's got. Yeah.
Me and Jay incredible. Beat him and Si, and I mean, it was like the world burned down. He was like, what happened, Si?
H.L. Stone plays like an idiot. Yeah,
but we did strap him. One game.
And he blames Si. He says, Si, what are you thinking over here?
Why'd you play?
Oh, we
that?
Didn't let him live it down either, did we, Stone?
No, and then he looked at me. He said, I got you figured out.
That's funny. Look, another one from the hello@duckcallroom.com email I thought was kind of cool. Jennifer is asking us to wish her husband a happy birthday on February the 1st. So her husband's name happens to be Will Shakespeare.
Will Shakespeare.
Yeah.
Well, Bill.
How about that? But the cool thing about Will, and the reason I'm reading this, is because Will is a captain in the Army. So, Will, two things. Happy birthday. Thank you so much for your service, because guys and gals like you, we couldn't sit here and opine about a bunch of meaningless things like we do every week. Yeah. So, we do appreciate that. Happy birthday. Look, if y'all have more, feel free to send them to the email address hello@duckcallroom.com. And then we're going to close with a scripture. Does anybody have one on their mind, or are we just going to wing this part of it? Does anybody?
Well, I'll tell you what changed my mind when Phil shared the gospel with me. He told me to read the Bible, and it's in Luke, the last chapter, 24, and it's when all them running buddies with Jesus run up in that upper room. They just killed Jesus. And so they were scared they were going to get persecuted or killed because they were persecuting Christians. They run up in that upper room, locked the door. I'm sure they was praying. They was mourning. You know, they just watched their best friend get killed, you know.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he just appears. He appears in the room. And it spooked them. It scared them. Because, I mean, good grief. If I'd have watched see one of y'all die, I imagine I'd be pretty shook up, too, if somebody would just appear. But he said, look at me. I'm not a ghost. You want me to read that?
Well, I mean, I got it pulled up for you.
That's awesome. Here, I'll read.
Yeah.
I was just paraphrasing. And just as they were telling about it, they're talking about it, Jesus himself was suddenly standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. But the whole group was startled and frightened, thinking we're seeing a ghost. He said, why are you frightened? Why are your hearts filled with doubt? Look at my hands and look at my feet. You see that it's really me. Touch me and make sure that I'm not a ghost. Because ghosts don't have bodies, as you see that I do. As he spoke, he showed him his hands and his feet. Still, they stood there in disbelief, filled with joy and wonder. Then he asked them, do you have anything here to eat? So he asked him for some fish, which is probably crappie. They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he ate it as they watched. And when I read that, I got to thinking, wow. When it's our time and we're gone, and then Jesus comes back, we're getting our bodies back. That's what he said. That's what he had. That's why they were scared, because they recognized,
yeah,
I'm going to be me, you're going to be you. It's going to be awesome.
And from all accounts, there's going to be a fish fry.
Hey, you ain't joking.
That's guaranteed.
Good night. You know, he said, you know, this Duck Dynasty deal opened a lot of doors for us, and we get to travel and see, you know, beautiful mountain ranges, beautiful waterfalls, pretty oceans. I mean, America is the beautiful. And he just spoke all that into existence. But he said he's going back to prepare a place. Can you imagine what heaven's going to look like? He's thinking about.
Wow.
Amen to that.
That's awesome.